All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. Dead Penetration's not here yet, but we have an amazing announcement, an exciting, awesome announcement that I never fucking thought was gonna happen. Remember when we played Great Deceiver, and I said, maybe, before I die, we'll get Sleepless and Sleepless Nocturne so we can continue the story that was started in Starless. Well, Manga Gamer just announced today, 2024, Anime NYC, Sleepless is being localized. So, it's gonna happen, guys. We're going to fucking play Sleepless in English. I can't wait. Because everybody's like, well, who's your waifu, Grim? That is my waifu. Like, I've even got a big, like, out of all the waifus I have on my little bookshelf, I've got her with her chair and everything, looking over the entire area. Like, she's got the front seat. Like, anybody that walks in here will see her first. And there's some cosmoses and stuff like that, but she's there first. And, yeah, so she's here. And it says, Sleepless, A Midsummer Night's Dream. This new tale from the delightfully twisted mind of Sei Shoujo, the creator of Bible Black, is set in the Black Rose Manor, where Mamiya Mari, or Mari as I've been calling her, the CEO of a powerful conglomerate, lives with her youngest daughter, Maria, and a stoic maid, Ira. When Takayama Ryohei arrives to be Maria's new tutor, oh no! He has no idea what kind of tantalizing web he's just fallen into. As the women lure him into debauchery, all his lesson plans soon come unraveled. Yet all is not as it seems in the manor. Surely there must be some reason other than her daughter that keeps such a powerful and important CEO here within its halls. There's also a mystery of why the room next door is strictly forbidden. I bet we're gonna find out! Deep in the woods stands a secluded mansion, Black Rose Manor. Takayama Ryohei, a college student invited to stay the week as a private tutor, arrives at the manor in high spirits. I'll bet. Living there are Mamiya Mari, a alluring older woman, Maria, her gorgeous daughter, and Ira, the estate's maid and caretaker. Takamiya has been entrusted with tutoring Maria, a girl as undisciplined as she is beautiful. But soon he finds himself seduced by the lewd advances of the three sex-starved women as their new plaything, of course. He spends his days in abject debauchery, as always, as the gears of fate turn increasingly askew. Will it be a rosy future that awaits him in the end, or a nightmarish reality? The doors of the Black Rose Manor are now open. Okay, so I can show you these two CGs and we can still make this safe for work. But I can't show you any of those 18+, even though they are goddamn beautiful. Just trust me on this one. I looked at them all before we even started. But we can show you this one. Look at that art. Wonderful Sei Shoujo art. You love it. And then got another one here. Now it's saucy, but it's okay for BitChute. They're not going to give me shit on that. And everything is covered up, you know. But it's a great one. But this is not all. No, this is far from it, guys. Whoops. Might want to kind of look at this different. Hold on. Far from it. Because we've also got... What is that? Oh my god! It's Sleepless Nocturne! So, we didn't just get Sleepless, we got all of it. We got the other part of Sleepless. This new tale from the delightfully twisted mind of Sei Shoujo, the creator of Bible Black, is set in the Black Rose Manor, where Mamiya Mari, the CEO of a powerful conglomerate, lives with her youngest daughter, Maria, and a stoic maid, Ira. In Nocturne, a young couple facing roadside trouble. Oh man, they literally went there. Find themselves at the mercy of Black Rose's hospitality. While they wait for repairs in this lap of luxury, the two find themselves beset upon the alluring women of the manor, each one tempted to stray from the other in exploring the tantalizing experiences of the manor has to offer them. Kawai Tomoki and Komori Yukino, a pair of college students, it's always college students, who have just started seeing each other, are out on their first driving date together. When their car gets a flat tire, and I wonder who put the nails in the road. They have no choice but to leave it behind and seek help at the Black Rose Manor. When the captivating madam of the house, Mami Amari, graciously shows them inside, the couple can't help but be overwhelmed by the mansion's luxurious splendor. In addition to the maid, Ira, the mansion... In addition to the maid, Ira, the mansion is also home to Mari's equally beautiful daughter, Mamiya Maria, as well as a curious girl who appears wearing a collar, an audaciously tailored maid's outfit, a large set of cat ears, and even a tail, who introduces herself by saying, "Meow, my name is Takemizawa Rui." Deciding to spend the next few days at the isolated estate located deep in the mountains, little do Tomoki and Yukino realize that they're about to become fodder for this manor's bizarre festivities. Again, uncensored. I really want to see those other two, but we have to keep it safe. So, beautiful, beautiful art. Again from Sei Shoujo. Look at that. Wonderful art. Now, she might be hiding something. And this one. Yet again, beautiful art. And shouldn't be too crazy for, it's a bust. We're not going to get in trouble for that. But yes, these are 18 plus games, of course. However, we're not showing any of the adult scenes. I'd love to look at them right now, but I won't. Anyway, we're very, very, very proud to announce that we will be playing these games in their entirety. However, there's a catch. Because we want to make sure that Manga Gamer gets all the sales that they need to, because we want to keep other games, like older games maybe from Empress. Some of the ones we played, like Dominance, for example. We want to see some of those get localized. And maybe even some future titles from Empress. Like maybe he'll bring us back to Bible Black. I don't know. I have no idea what Sei Shoujo's planning right now. But what I am saying is it's important that this game gets the sales it needs. So we don't want to show the entire game. We don't want to give you all of Sleepless and Sleepless Nocturne, like, right away. We're not going to do that, and we're not going to upset Manga Gamer and their staff by doing that. So what we are going to do is show a couple videos every other month, just like we would do with Great Deceiver. And of course, it's not a long game, but we'll do 30-minute breaks, maybe an hour sometime if there's a scene. But that's all we're going to do. We will show all the routes, but it's going to take us a while, and it'll probably take us a year for each one, which will give them plenty of time to get full sales, you know. And of course, not everybody's going to be on BitChute. It won't be on YouTube or anything like that. So it's plenty of time for people to actually go buy the game and experience it for themselves. And it will be done at a much slower pace because we want people to play the games. Obviously, we know you love these games. I have seen people ask me about them in comments when it came to Starless. So yeah, we know you want to play Sleepless and Sleepless Nocturne. I do too. We can't wait to see what horrible splendors await us in the Black Rose Manor. But alright guys, that's all I had to say about this amazing, unexpected announcement. That is just one of the best announcements I've ever could have hoped for in Aerogame. Like, this was the holy grail game for me. To get both of these games. Not just one, but both. And I even dreamed that this would happen one day. That's how big of a fan I am of this stuff. There's stuff I want on my walls of my house that this man is drawing. That's how much I love his art. And no, I'm not talking about the nude stuff. I'm talking about his more saucy pinup kind of stuff. I like that. I think he's a wonderful, wonderful artist. So, I think he's the best artist in hentai. And I'm just gonna put a fucking bow on that. And if this asshole will stop driving like he owns the place. I hope they fucking put nails in the road and you end up in a manor where things happen that you might and may not like. You might like or may not like. I don't know. But anyway, let's get on with the actual articles. Because yes, we do have some. We absolutely do have some. So, I'm a little late. And I actually had a bunch of stuff that I was supposed to cover. Unfortunately, it seems that we're not going to get to those articles right now. Yep, sorry about that, guys. We'll do that in a future show. But what I will do, and of course I've got a special topic coming up that revolves around one of those articles. Oh, that's my GOG games. Yeah, I don't care. So, let's see. I bought Less Academy Season 3. I know we're on 2. Just give me a minute. And I like, you know, Doom, Skelethrone. If you guys care, like, I mean, yeah, here's some of the games I've got. Of course, it's the Grimlord. If you want to see me on GOG or talk to me there, you can. I'm there. See? I mean, it's what you expect, right? Well, somewhat. Love and sex, you know, come on. And got a bunch of games. But alright, Dead Rising Remaster cuts erotica genre from photography minigame. Capcom recently teased details for their Dead Rising Deluxe Remaster, but content is being cut from the game, the erotica genre from its photography minigame. The original Dead Rising would let you take photos to get prestige points. And out of 5 photo genres, the erotica genre would reward you for taking suggestive photos of human females or even zombie females. A recent preview for the new Deluxe Remaster, which is being hyped up as the definitive version of the game with its improvements and better visuals, has confirmed the erotica genre from the photo minigame has been cut. While some may bemoan the feature from the original 2006 game, many felt like it added to the absurdity of the horror comedy game, as it let players experience a bonkers B-tier zombie story in an open-world mall playscape. To add to the absurdity of the game's original photo mode, the other genres included horror, zombies and graphic violence, outtakes, silly events or scenes, drama, dramatic events especially from survivors, and brutality, death of survivors, zombies or survivors. So, that kind of sucks. They've done a lot more. According to Polygon, they took an Asian character that was considered a stereotype. Weird, right? Because it's Asian people. And they're changing it. The Asian people changed the Asian stereotype to make it less offensive to Westerners. So, yeah, this remaster is going downhill fast. I'm not even interested in it anymore. Are you? I don't think so. So, what are we going to see next? My itch.io account? No, we're not. That would have been funny, though. Okay, so Jenna Ortega says that everybody in Hollywood wants to be politically correct, but that lacks honesty and makes us lose a lot of our humanity and our integrity. So, Jenna Ortega shared her thoughts to Vanity Fair about the intersection of Hollywood and politics and mainly how the need for actors to be politically correct often contributes to their loss of integrity. The actor left the Scream franchise last year one day after her co-star Melissa... Hold on. DP should have been here by now. Well, if he doesn't show up, he doesn't show up. It is what it is, guys. About the intersection of Hollywood and politics, mainly how the need for actors to be politically correct often contributes to their loss of integrity. The actor left the Scream franchise last year one day after her co-star Melissa Barrera was fired due to social media posts about Israel and Palestine. Ortega cited scheduling conflicts as the reason for her departure. The business that we work in is so touchy-feely, Ortega told Vanity Fair about Hollywood. Everyone wants to be politically correct, but I feel like in doing that, we lose a lot of our humanity and integrity because it lacks honesty. I wish we had a better sense of conversation, she continued. Imagine if everyone could say what they felt and not be judged for it. And if anything, it sparks some sort of debate, not an argument. Am I describing world peace? She then asked herself on a lighter note. So, okay. She's making some good points. She's saying people should be able to say what the fuck they think. Great. You might not like the Ronnie Radke guy, and I'm not even a big fan of the Fallen in Reverse, but I listened to that record, and I liked what he said in one of these songs. It was called Bad Guy. He said, I'm a bad guy, I've got bad thoughts. I'm a bad guy, I've got bad thoughts. I'm a loser, I'm problematic. And I like that he's saying this, because that used to be what it meant to be a rebel back in the days of punk, early punk. It was basically, hey, we're gonna fucking say what we want, no matter what the man has to say. The man is now politically correct, right? So to be against the man, you have to be unpolitically correct. Or, you know, that's pretty much it. And basically, I was listening to that record. I enjoyed it for the most part. I thought it was really good. I mean, I know a lot of people don't like the guy for what he says about different people. And of course, he had Alex Terrible, who gotten some flack as well. And all these people that have gotten flack, you know, Marilyn Manson's gotten flack. A lot of these bands have gotten flack for their beliefs. And that's what rock and heavy metal and hard rock has always been about. It's been about not going against the fucking grain. Excuse me, it's not going with the grain, it's going against the grain. It's like, hey, we're not gonna fucking do what you tell us, you know? Like the famous, you know, the famous... Damn, if I wasn't so tired, I'd be able to know the fucking name of the band, but... It's the famous lyric from Rage Against the Machine. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me, right? And all these bands are like, yeah, we'll do what you tell us. It's all good. It's blah, 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 blah. We gotta do this and that. We don't wanna... No, these people are like, you know what? Fuck you. I don't believe in that stuff. I don't follow this. You know, that's what rock and metal was all about. That was the fucking lifestyle. That was what all this shit was about. And Jenna Ortega's like, you know, being politically correct lacks honesty, and it makes us lose, again, our humanity and integrity. Because trying to fucking do what everybody wants us to, it doesn't allow us to be ourselves. It doesn't allow us to be an independent thinker. This woman is saying what everybody wants to fucking say, and she's got the platform to say it. That's probably DP. Okay, so English localizers are upset about AI translations for light novels. There's actually been a few notes on this, and one of them is... Steiner, hold on, give me a minute, I've got to let DP in. Yeah, turn it off. Alright, guys, sorry about that. But... Alright, so yeah. Steiner was talking about upset over the AI translation of the manga. He said, what's the hell you doing? And by the way, look, I gotta give Steiner credit because he's fucking translating Rance X, and that is like 3 times the length of the Bible. So it's a very, very long game. Basically, the creator went nuts and decided he wanted to write as much as he possibly could to finish the character. And dude's been working on this game for 4 or 5 years now. Just translating it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give him that. But he's like, oh, they're gonna fuck up the translation. Dude, no offense to him, because he's a very good translator. But I find shit like this in visual novels, and you guys know what I'm talking about because you've seen me read them. What's the hell you doing? That's actually something I've read. Remember when there's plurals where there's not supposed to be, there's extra words, spelling errors, all kinds of shit. And what stuff the hell I've are paid you doing? Like I stuff I've paid for. Sound reads like that sometimes. And that's I'm not trashing the localizers. I'm just saying that you're gonna trash the AI. You need to really, you know, go back and look at your own spell checking. You know, there's been a lot of times where I'm like, is there ever going to be a patch to fix this? Is there going to be a patch? No, there's never a patch. It's just what it is.
Their translation. They're a lot, not you know, that, like it's not Spanish, the translation. Sometimes the words go in different order.
It's
than
not the translation.
English.
It's the grammar and the spelling.
Yeah.
After they localize it, sometimes they don't really catch all their spelling and grammar mistakes, and that can be a pain in the ass to read.
Oh, they just kind of throw it together and say, here you go.
So not quite like that, but I'm just saying they don't capture their, because they do their quality checking, but the quality checkers, they're not that great sometimes. A lot of times I find errors all the time. There's been some bad errors. There's been errors where people have been referred to as other people. And in novels, it's like, okay, that's a man, and clearly that man doesn't have a vagina, so that does not work. Like, they put the male character's name instead of the female character's name. So, yeah, that doesn't work. But yeah, so they're mad about this Freerun translation, and again, they're saying it's AI translation, and it, MTL is bad, and but again. I mean, look, people are going to buy what they're going to buy. And people are saying, in response, how dare they ruin their art? They put in a Gamergate reference, a speech about patriarchy, despite neither subjects were in the original scripts, and tried to make a One Piece character trans against the creator's own words.
Oh, that's
good riddance. And, and they were saying Japan will still wokeify their work to mass celebration. Their DEI overlords at BlackRock demand it, and the Japanese are too meek and polite to push back. Actually, they care deeply for the works they're saving. As for localizers, learn to code. They don't care about the works they're ruining. Are they really not talking about themselves? The iron law of woke projection stands. The woke suffer from a total lack of self-awareness, among other psychological problems. Katrina Leonidakis is the last person who has any right to complain about this. She and others like her hijacked anime and manga to insert the message every chance they got. No sympathy for vocalizers. Especially after all the clear violation of translator ethics that just got laughed off in DI when they were pointed out by former customers. They own Viz Media. If they were to replace them with AI, that'd be great. Even better if they do it with anime dubs, too. Hope Funimation VA gets this treatment next. The audacity of these people to butcher others' works and cry victim when they're being cut out of the process. AI translations are only going to get better. These woke localizers just keep getting worse. The they, them became, was, were employed. yeah. They, them support black trans liberation. Gee, I wonder why fans would rather have AI translators. Of course they omitted facts about the human element to polish the AI translation. It would ruin their narrative. And crazier is that they're saying they don't care about their works and just ruining it. Big projection coming from woke localizers. Unfortunately, the company involved is not to be praised for their human editors. The company is also used for manga translations and have had quite an experience with their output. The flow sounds good on paper. MTL does the first pass. They hired freelance translators correcting MTL and insert whatever the MTL miss, which should ensure a good first draft. First draft goes out to the company like the one I work for. It's checked again to ensure there's no errors and that the English is a faithful representation of the Japanese original. Problem here is that the company doesn't hire on skill. They want cheap, not quality. They have in fact recently further cut the low pay that they offer. This is desire for cheap manpower and not skilled manpower is reflective of the amount of additional work required on our end to make their first draft publishable. Sadly, this includes the occasional need to remove so-called woke interpretations, too. It was very infuriating for me. A Japanese person who knows about the situation overseas. That Japanese works were ruined without the knowledge of many Japanese people. As a Japanese person, I support Shogakukan for making this decision. For them, their main purpose is to fight piracy, and they are famous for not caring about authors, but they are still far better than Wokalizer. That's a Japanese person.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. But again, the one person that was complaining, look, Katrina Linadokis, she's the one that was, you know, that was having a fit about that. Now, her responses were, don't get me wrong, like any tool machine translation AI have their uses, but you don't use a jackhammer to nail a painting to the wall. MT AI isn't smart or nuanced enough to craft translations that audience want to read and pay for. And here's the thing about light novels, because the original text is often available online. Lots of fan translation groups already publish machine translations of them for free, so you're giving international fans what they already have. But these companies don't care about that. They don't care about their authors or customers or the works they're ruining with machine translation. In the end, all they care about is money. Fortunately, the English manga Loke scene is still dedicated to hiring human translators, editors, and letterers to produce high-quality localizations. And now we've got an award ceremony to recognize the humans that bring authors' work into English with love and respect. Yeah, but this is the same person that said that, you know, the same person that wanted to add all their message shit, all their woke shit into...
I think that should automatically be banned. Anyone that does it should never work in that industry again.
Right.
But, you know.
So, Boom Studios is rebooting Power Rangers comics into a reimagined world. Again, they're doing it. So, I thought they were gonna stop it, but apparently they're not. Angel Grove University students face a difficult choice after crossing paths with a fugitive straight out of legend. Consequences for hiding her are dire, but her existence may not stay secret for long. What? It's literally the plot of fucking City of Broken Dreamers, pretty much. In the wake of Darkest Hour, prepare. Yeah, they're hiding this special girl that has an ability or something, right? In the wake of Darkest Hour, prepare yourself for a bold new era, a bold new story unlike anything that's come before. A perfect day one jumping point. No, the perfect day one jumping point is the fucking original shit. I mean, it's called Power Rangers Prime. I mean, the art is decent.
Well, yeah, just because the art...
The art is pretty decent, but I don't know if the story's decent.
I've had a couple of those where the art was good and then the story was shit.
The fuck?
Oh, they got Dr. Manhattan.
They're doing... No, that's Zordon, but they're trying to show him as like a
solid character.
Yeah. Forgot to add the modern audience.
Back in the day before the Power Rangers.
Never liked the comic. Made no sense for fans of the show. They turned away from the main series. Higgins left and then Parrot left. Nathan. Let it go to Skybound. Math. They're going to have to work overtime to convince people it's worth buying. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think we should have just gave Power Rangers the boot and gave it to the Sentai. Because all the kids like anime, they'll like Sentai and that stuff as well. Scientist claims his AI can tell disturbing things just by looking at your face. Well, we don't usually cover this kind of article on this show, so we'll cover that one a little later. I'll do a supplemental for that. We can really go into a deep dive. Alright, so what we got next here? Got some older articles. Gen Z woman's viral response to boomers who say she can buy a house for $250,000. The search for a starter home has, for some, been igniting generational divides between those in Gen Z who are often first-time buyers and those who purchased their first home in a different economic landscape. The discussion on housing affordability has left many in their 20s and younger feeling exasperated by their perceived belief that older generations can't quite grasp what they're up against while trying to get their feet on the property ladder. When Mai McConnell, 27-year-old pharmaceutical marketer from New Jersey, shared a frustrating home shopping experience on TikTok, she struck a chord with many in her generation who feel the same way. She found herself tasked with finding a starter home for $250,000 or less after feeling put up to the challenge by baby boomers who repeatedly told her to either save up for longer or purchase a property on the lower end of the housing price scale. Her quick search on the real estate listing website unearthed a mold-infested townhouse that she labeled a literal biohazard. Her video, which has gathered 545,000 videos since it was posted on April 16th, highlights a stark reality facing many young Americans today, the daunting challenge of entering the housing market. McConnell's predicament is not unique in today's economic climate. After telling family members that the homes in our area are $600,000 or more, they told me that I should be getting a starter home for $250,000 or less, she told Newsweek. In the video, you can see I found the only house within a commutable distance of my job in the borough of Middlesex in that price range. The property is a mold-infested, badly maintained townhouse, the marketer who is newly engaged said. I wanted to share this online as an example of why people my age can't just get up and buy a house.
She rushed into that one. She should have waited and looked a little more.
How out of touch some people. The boomers were telling her she could just buy a house. Just snap up and buy one. But I didn't expect the video to pick up like it did.
The boomers were in a different generation.
I know.
Where it was affordable.
Exactly. And that's the difference. I'm glad it has, because more people need to understand how insane the market is for first-time buyers right now, she added. McConnell could be heard calling the paneled Middlesex townhouse a literal biohazard, while viewers caught a glimpse at its derelict interior, complete with crumbling, mold-ridden walls. The gap between generational perceptions of what is affordable and the reality of the housing market today has become a contentious issue, which occasionally spills into the digital world. At the time of her video, the property she had found was on the market for $244,000. Wow.
Crazy. I wouldn't pay that for a mold infested
No, nobody would.
But she did.
Oh, Chick-fil-A's putting up a streaming service.
Are they?
I don't know what they're going to have.
Cows fighting chickens?
I don't know. It's a streaming service. What the brand's new service could look like. Yeah, I don't know. Known for its popular chicken sandwiches, strips, and nuggets, but it soon could be the company behind bingeable TV shows. They're developing their own streaming service, including a lineup of original shows. Okay. The brand is also working on licensing and acquiring additional content. One show users of the new service can expect to see is a game show format produced by Glassman Media, which produces NBC game show The Wall, and Sugar 23, which produced 13 Reasons Why on Netflix. The fast food chain has reportedly ordered 10 episodes of the game show. Unscripted shows for the new service have a budget of around $400,000 per half hour, according to Deadline. Chick-fil-A is said to be looking into scripted shows and animation, too. The service could launch later this year. The programming development is being led by Brian Gibson, who's worked on the History Channel's Top Gear remake and Fox's The X Factor. The new venture is not the first time the fast food chain has experimented with content creation. The brand has previously posted original shows to its website, including the short animated film series Stories of Evergreen Hills.
That's going to be a lot of family-friendly ones.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Kind of like Hallmark, probably.
Yeah, a lot of people said it would probably be that. Denny's Closure Maps chose 13 restaurants the chain shut down across the U.S. this year. Denny's is just going out of business.
I like Denny's.
I like Denny's, too.
I like it better than IHOP now, because IHOP puts fucking pancake batter in their eggs. And I guess use less eggs, I don't know. But it tastes like shit.
First living patient to receive genetically modified pig kidney died dead at 62 weeks after historic transplant. Stop showing me Kamala Harris! Patient to receive a kidney from a genetically modified pig has died 2 months after the groundbreaking transplant, his family and doctors announced Saturday. Richard Rick Slayman, 62. Slayman. Come on, that's a fucking badass name. Rick Slayman. It fucking sounds like a comic book character. My name's Rick. Rick Slayman.
That sounds like a robot chicken.
It fucking does.
Maybe a Seth MacFarlane.
Was sent home in March, 2 weeks after undergoing the transplant at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. The enormous efforts leading
the
xenotransplant
gave our family 7 more weeks with Rick, and our memories made during that time will remain in our minds and hearts, his family said in a statement of the practice of healing human patients with animal cells, tissues, or organs. Slayman of Boston suburb Weymouth said he underwent the daring procedure after suffering ongoing dialysis complications, which saw him hospitalized every 2 weeks. I saw it not only as a way to help me, but a way to provide hope for the thousands of people who need a transplant to survive, he said in a statement at the time. Oh, well, that's sad, but at least he got 7 more weeks with his family.
7 more, not for a fresh pig kidney.
Yeah, well.
I don't like mine to work a long time.
Inside Kamala Harris's fraught relationship with Marx's father, who skipped the DNC.
Oh, she's good for cock sucking and hate fucking. She's just an evil bitch.
Now the Hawk Tuar girl is trying to step away from the nickname.
Yeah, probably haunting her.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one wants to be the girl that known for spitting on wieners.
Yeah.
Hey, would you mind hot chewing on my wiener? I'm not going to wash it now. It's like an autograph. Yep. I guarantee you. I don't know if I'd give her the business. I'm like, I'm the only penis you can hot to on. You can't hot to on no one else's penis.
People are showing what it's like to job hunt over 50, and it's harrowing. When you're over 50, the odds are stacked against you to land a job. Yeah, that's what it is. It's rough. Well, none of us, I'm not over 50, so we won't even go with this.
I imagine it depends on the location.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're like, well, we all retired.
America is sick of swiping. I think we already went talked about this one.
Swipe or no swipe.
People don't want to swipe no more. All right. Consciousness could hang. Well, we'll talk about that later. We don't want to talk that. What's the next one? What do we got? What do we got at the top here? Okay. Yeah, I played the Yellow Power Ranger on TV. I was floored by how much the show means to people. This dude literally, basically, he was in New Zealand. A little kid in New Zealand. One of my favorite shows is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I'd sit in front of the TV after school enthralled by the colors of karate and the deafening 90s guitars. It was a weird show, frankly. A bunch of American teens used magical coins to transform into spandex-clad Deliveroo drivers and fight rubber monsters sent down from the moon. I adored it. I wanted to be a Power Ranger more than anything. And then a few years later, I got my wish. When I was 18, I was cast as a Yellow Ranger in the 14th season of Power Rangers. It was a big surprise, partly because I had no idea the show was even still going, let alone it was being filmed in my own backyard.
I thought that ended years ago.
Power Rangers was banned from our TVs during the 90s for being too violent. Then, ironically, production moved to New Zealand in the early 2000s to make more. Take that, concerned parents. But it was also unexpected because Power Rangers, I remember, were all muscled Americans with granite jawlines and sick martial arts skills. I was a scrawny ginger boy who'd spent high school studying improv and still had one of my baby teeth. Surely I wasn't Power Ranger material. It was then explained to me that in this season, one of the Power Rangers was going to be a nerdy guy who's obsessed with fantasy and magic. Turns out I was born to play the role. Power Rangers Mystic Force, the 14th season, was basically Power Rangers meets Harry Potter, filmed in Auckland during 2005. As far as I have the Sentai based on that, as far as I was concerned, I'd hit the big time. Oh, and that's also the final performance of the original woman that played Rita Repulsa, and they actually canonized her as Rita Repulsa becoming a good character. Like, after she became evil, she basically redeemed herself by being a good character, and that was the last role she played before she died.
No,
that was her legacy. That was her legacy. She loved Sentai.
Oh, yeah.
In tokusatsu work. She loved that kind of work. Filmed in Auckland during 2005. As far as I was concerned, I'd hit the big time. I lived in a hotel and got chauffeured around the city, just like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone 2. On set, I had a chair with my name on it, and someone would bring me hot chocolates whenever I asked, just like Macaulay Culkin on the set of Home Alone 2, probably.
Boy, she's...
Filming the show was a blur. One day we'd be flying on a green screen dragon, the next would be fighting a Venus flytrap DJ that turned people into vampires. The next we would be trying to reverse an evil wish that had drained all the color out of the world. Power Rangers is filmed at a fast pace, and all the footage of robots fighting is just brought from the Japanese Sentai stuff. As a result, a lot of the time we honestly had no idea what was going on. I don't know how good a performance I gave, but I did get really good at jumping in the air in slow motion while an enormous fireball exploded behind me. Then after 6 months of work, filming was done. Production started preparing for the 15th season of the show, which would have an all-new cast and nobody in New Zealand even knew Power Rangers Mystic Force existed. It felt like I'd just taken a weird summer job and now it was time to get back to normal life. I moved into a normal flat chair, got a job at a bakery. Turns out if you live at a hotel for 6 months, Culkin style, will eat into your TV star money in a big way, and got on with my life. Power Rangers became something I felt a bit silly about. Years later, in 2019, I moved to the UK. Perfect timing to do so. And out of the blue, I got an invite to appear at the Coventry Comic Con as one of the celebrity guests. I thought celebrity was a bit of a stretch, but I was always curious to go to a con, and supposedly Power Rangers had this amazing fan base all over the world. Plus, who could pass up a free trip to Coventry? I got a lift from the train station by one of the volunteers who asked me to film a video for his daughter. Is she a fan of Power Rangers, I asked? I don't know, he replied cheerfully. Maybe. The experience of Coventry Comic Con was very surreal. It was held in a convention center that was also booked that day for a wedding. So you'd be wandering the corridors passing people dressed as Pikachu or Mario and then turn a corner to see a bride waiting nervously to walk down the aisle. The big draw cards for the convention were a woman who played one of the little girls in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and Hunter from Gladiators, but as I took my seat next to a stack of printed out pictures of me as an 18-year-old in spandex, a man stepped up to me. Hey, I recognize you. I braced myself for the onslaught of praise and admiration. Were you eating alone at the TGI Fridays last night?
Oh, that's funny.
Oh my God. In the end, I met a few lovely Power Rangers fans, signed a few photos, and shared a taxi ride with a guy who voiced the robot dog in Doctor Who. All in all, a good time at my first convention, even if I was pretty sure I didn't want to make a career out of it, no matter how viable the robot dog made it sound. Then a few months later, I was invited into another convention, this time slightly further than Coventry. It was the annual Ranger Stop Convention in Orlando, Florida. I didn't know that. Held specifically for Power Rangers fans and Power Rangers stars. It was a 3-day event held in a big hotel, and I remember the first morning walking through the lobby and people were staring at me. It's like I murdered someone and was covered in blood. But no, this is what it feels like to be a real celebrity, I guess? Someone yelled out my character's name, Chip, it's you! And a teenage girl suddenly crash-tackled me with a hug, her parents trailing behind, phones out, and filming. That weekend, I got to meet hundreds of Power Rangers fans, old and young, many who had traveled halfway across the country to be there. There were lots of Power Rangers actors there, too, including some of my old pals from Mystic Force, but I quickly realized the convention wasn't really about us. It was a place for friends to catch up, to connect, and share their love of the show and all things nerdy. I saw a lot of Power Rangers tattoos. I listened to one guy's Power Rangers themed death metal band. Whoever you are, I want to know who you are because I want to buy your music just because it exists. Yes, Power Rangers themed death metal is something I've been looking for. Anything Sentai or Tokusatsu based. Because there's a band called Oxygen Destroyer that I listened to just today. They do Godzilla based death metal. Yeah, so it's all based in Godzilla, and I think there's some Ultraman stuff that they did this time. Another gave me a handmade replica of my character's helmet. One fan got the Red Ranger from my season to help propose to his girlfriend in front of our tables. One boy would come by our table every hour or so to breathlessly tell us facts about Power Rangers Mystic Force. We literally couldn't get a word in. At the end of the weekend, an older lady came over and told she was the boy's grandmother, and they'd driven for 2 days to get to the convention. He's very chatty, I said. She got emotional and told me that this was the most she'd ever seen him talk. He never talks, she said. Never, not even to his family. But he loves Power Rangers. I watch it with him, and that's how we spend time together. I was floored. I knew Power Rangers was popular, but until that convention, I never grasped quite how much it means to some people. After that weekend, I felt very lucky to be a small part of it, even if it was just a weird summer job I did when I was 18. It also felt great to be back in a hotel for a few days. I really just feel at home in them, you know? So that's interesting, right? Because, like, we watch these shows and these characters, and they don't even look at it as much. And they're like, yeah. Oh, but I remember you from...
Well, their production's so weird, you know, compared to other productions.
Right.
You think of Monk and all that, like, they probably spent years on it. Because they had several seasons. I think Monk had, like, 10. I want to say Psych had 11 or 12. They're both good murder mystery shows. Plus, they've got like 4 or 5 movies on Peacock.
We got one more. A 30-year-old James Cameron film that I watched last week or the week before, I think, set a world record laughable by today's standards. There was a time, not all that long ago, when movie budgets weren't nearly as inflated as they are today. In the 70s and 80s, it was uncommon for a film to cost somewhere in the ballpark of one of the world's smallest 5 GDPs. Today, hearing that a movie costs north of $100 million to make isn't uncommon at all. And that movie that kicked it all off was one that no one expected. James Cameron, True Lies, which is an amazing movie. I highly recommend you watch this movie. I think it's one of Arnold's best, if not his best.
Yeah.
Starring Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis, True Lies becomes that scene with Jamie Lee Curtis that he does.
That's what I saw down the road from us. That used to be a Big Lots, but before that it was a movie theater.
Yeah.
And I think we saw Forrest Gump and then went back and saw True Lies.
Right.
Had a sad movie. You'd hear the girls and the crowd just bawling their eyes out. Oh, Judy's dead. She did all those drugs and fucked around on Forrest. Now she's dead.
Right. Starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay, True Lies became a Guinness World Record holder the moment it was released for being the first film ever to cross the $100 million mark in budget. Cameron would break his record 3 years later, and big-time blockbuster costs have skyrocketed ever since. Was True Lies worthy of such an accomplishment, and what has the aftermath resulted in? Oh, that's them now. Considering what big-budget movies have evolved into over the past 30 years, it's somewhat alluring that the world's first $100 million movie wasn't just practically made for the most part. It also featured a humorous premise that probably could have been made for half of its budget. No, that doesn't even put that money to good use, because True Lies combines comedy and action to one giant entertaining thrill ride. So this is a long article about the history of True Lies, which is an amazing movie.
I think the remakes aren't worth the shit.
They made a remake of True Lies?
They've got like a TV series.
They've got
two TV series. I think it started out being, and I think they changed it to a black and Asian couple, I think.
Oh, no, that's Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
No, they did a True Lies one, too.
Oh, okay. Well, it's just a wonderful movie. I highly recommend you check it out.
Yeah.
Because
I like it. Yeah. That's one of my favorites.
It's a lot to talk about. Let's see. It says, let's see why the movie costed so much. Don't believe me? Look no further than True Lies' incredible final stretch, which sees Harry come close to Helen thanks to the amusing use of truth serum before the two escape capture, destroy the terrorist base, survive a harrowing chase scene on 7 Mile Bridge, which in turn leads to a fighter jet sequence in the skies of Miami, and ends with one of Arnold's cringiest but also perfect app one-liners. When the terrorist leader is dispatched while equipped to one of the plane's rockets, Arnie shamelessly quips, "You're fired."
Yeah.
Reread that last paragraph and you'll quickly realize why this film costs so much.
You'll find it.
So much better movies.
CGI,
movies were so much better then.
Yeah.
So we gotta talk about the
People
fucking
tried.
Crow.
They weren't putting agenda in there.
We gotta talk about The Crow.
Really?
Yes. Because The Crow movie is in theaters. And I've been reading reviews. And the director himself basically shared a review from The Guardian, which is usually, you know, kind of like they more lean, I guess, kind of maybe left. And they didn't like the movie either. They gave it very few stars. So right now, let's look at The Crow. How is The Crow doing on... Ugh, God, don't show me that. Look at that goddamn chin. Crow 1994. Look at this! 4 out of 5 stars.
Yeah.
2.5.
Well, like everyone said, they were trying to make a remake of the original. The original should never be touched.
No.
They need to go kind of like what they were doing afterward, like a different Crow story each time. That was at least more entertaining. They even had, oh, what's his name, played John Connor in Terminator 2 as the Crow, I think in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 14, I think 15, I have all 15, 17, 18. Of them on DVD.
So there's 18 1 out of 10 reviews out of 80.
But then again, if they're leaning far left, I would wonder, why do they not like it?
There's 17 reviews that are 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Well, is it more people leaning right, or is it more people leaning left? Because that'd be like Dave Chappelle, you know, they gave it such a low rating, but the viewer rating was 100%.
It's off the damn... It's all over the board.
Yeah.
The highest one is... The highest ones are the... 1 star with 18 reviews. And the 10 out of 10 with 17 reviews. So you either really, really love it, or you really, really hate it. And frankly, it costs a little too much at the theater to make that choice right now.
No, we could have seen a cheaper one, but I think we saw Deadpool and Wolverine at IMAX. That was going to cost us.
Yeah.
Because we saw it in 3D, and it was worth it.
So, do you still... Do you want to see this?
Right now, I just...
Right now, because I think it's... Neither do I. I'm
trying to get my vehicle.
You're trying to work on your vehicle, and you got all the other stuff. And... Yep. They said it's only 20 minutes of action.
Most of the movie
that I have heard, they said it's very slow. It's a very, very slow movie. And the relationship between her and him, they don't make it like a love relationship. They're both drug addicts. So they're basically doing drugs together. And you know how, like, in the original, it was the druggies, the bad guys. Now they're the druggies. And you're like, oh, well, I don't really care. Like they're drug addicts.
That really defeats the purpose of what The Crow was.
Right.
Was it was such a deep love that he comes back from the grave to avenge his, what's going to be his wife.
Right.
Which I've heard the writer, I've heard mixed reactions about the writer, but I've heard he's a dick. But...
The comic book writer?
Yeah, the original.
Oh, Obar, yeah. Obar says this movie didn't need to exist.
It probably didn't.
And this... I don't know, man. I mean, like they said, it's very slow. One guy said you'll be looking up at your watch quite a few times before the opera scene. Because it ends at, you know, the opera.
It's
and
one
everybody's
of those that
saying.
It builds to the violent scene.
And everybody's saying. That the ending doesn't make sense either.
Yeah,
the ending doesn't make sense
either.
I'm gonna
wait for it to come.
It doesn't feel like something that we want to go see in the theater.
No.
It looks like they kind of fucked it up.
I will tell you one I am planning on seeing is Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah. We're going to Beetlejuice. We'll be able to tell you all about it. So, Rotten Tomatoes, The Crow. Let's look at that. Okay, so the audience gave it a 90?
Yeah, the original one.
Oh, that's the original. I knew I was looking at that wrong.
Yeah, you're looking at... You got the damn VHS
I got the blue,
right there.
It's right. I got the Blu-ray right there.
Oh, man.
I got so much stuff of the original Crow. Yeah, I've got the Blu-ray, too. I know. Everybody should have the Blu-ray.
Yep, it's amazing.
Okay, so they gave it a 21, and people say they gave it a 62 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, Rotten Tomatoes, we already know they can't
so
be trusted all the time.
Let's look. Okay, so fine. We'll look at The Crow.
Metacritic?
Yes. How'd you know? Metacritic.
Yeah, because it said it is the most reliable source.
Mm-hmm. Ooh!
2.9 and 2.8.
29 and a 2.8.
Oh, 29 and a 2.8. 29
out of 100 and 2.8 out of 5. Generally unfavorable.
Well, that sounds like... Man, I feel bad for Skarsgård, too, because...
Yeah.
I thought his Boy Kills World was really good.
I did, too.
I actually got that on 4K.
Oh, I did.
I just got it in the mail the other day. Oh, Amazon's don't. You can't get it at Walmart or anywhere else.
Oh, yeah.
You can order it through their online, but, you know, Amazon, I guess, produced it or something. I don't know. But, anyway, I got that in the other day. I thought it was really good, but the Alien reshow of the original Alien got more people going to see it. So it kind of got put on the back burner.
Oh, 2.8 out of 10.
Plus, I don't think that was advertised enough, because I only saw it a couple of times. Luckily, I remembered it to go see it. But I thought it was good. But The Crow...
They said the violence is too graphic, too sadistic, too random, even for a revenge movie. Maybe especially for a revenge movie. The violence caused by the hero resembles terrorist attacks. Ah, fuck that person.
Oh, that sounds like a libtard.
This review contains spoilers. Movie should not have used the Crow title. It hurt by itself.
The violence is part of the joy of The Crow.
Absolute trash from start to finish. As an action movie, it fails because the protagonist is a clumsy junkie. Oh, yeah, they say that. He's got no fighting skill or ability
so
with
when
firearms.
He comes back, he's a clumsy junkie.
Well, yeah. He's not real good with stuff. As a revenge movie, it fails because the plot is incoherent. As a gothic movie, it fails because you don't care about the characters and the rules of the supernatural elements are ill-defined. An inferior, unnecessary remake of the brilliant masterpiece of 1994, which manages to be even worse than the last sequel, Wicked Prayer. Damn, and I liked Wicked Prayer.
Who was that John Connor
Eddie,
one?
That was Eddie Furlong.
Furlong.
Bill Skarsgård looks horrible as the Crow. Terrible miscast. Secondly, of course, now we cannot have white couples anymore. It's forced diversity. So Shelley is now a POC. Another horrible choice. So we get an uninspired, terribly acted rehash of the story, minus the visual brilliance and on-screen presence of the great Brandon Lee and Ernie Hudson. Do yourself a favor. Avoid it like the plague and re-watch the original instead.
No, it doesn't bother me.
I don't care that. I don't care about that either. Yeah, I don't.
But it's when they force it in there and it has no.
Yeah, that's point. It's literally there just to be there.
That would be like Madea. Let's get a crazy white guy to be. Oh, we're neighbors, Madea.
Yeah, like, that would. Okay.
Oh, Ty, I'm about to cap your ass.
Right. So, yeah, but there is one movie I'm definitely looking forward to.
What's that? And I like Madea. I like a lot of the, I like the Boo Madea and Boo 2.
Oh,
Madea.
Yeah.
Those are two of my favorite ones that they did. They got that old Asian lady and then the old,
I'm not seeing it.
I don't
it.
Know if it's a brother or...
They might have...
Boyfriend.
Oh, it's not going to be on Metacritic. It's going to be somewhere else, because nobody's watched it yet. So, here we go. It's called... Megaopolis. This movie is going to be fucking
I
great.
I think I saw a preview of that.
2 hours and 18 minutes. It's going to be good. An architect wants to rebuild New York City as a utopia following a devastating disaster. This is Francis Ford Coppola. He actually put his own money on this. This is all him. Yes, this is something he believed in. It's a story he's always wanted to tell. And it took a long, long, long time to make this movie. If you can't see a better future, build one. And I think it will be absolutely crazy. The script was written in the 80s, but the film was on the back burner, partially due to his financial debts. Pre-production began in 2001 after filming 30 hours of footage and holding table read with Paul Newman, Uma Thurman, Robert De Niro, James Gandolfini, Nicolas Cage, Leonardo DiCaprio, Russell Crowe, Eddie Falco, Kevin Spacey. However, the project was scrapped because of the September 11th attacks.
Thought he was the actor for the times.
Since predicted the attacks.
Little boys, you say.
Coppola fully abandoned the project in 2007 and didn't begin developing it again until 2019. He financed the entire $120 million film out of his own pocket. He did the same with Apocalypse Now and One from the Heart, and the failure of the latter made him declare bankruptcy. All his subsequent films up to The Rainmaker were made to pay off his debts. So this is his big thing, and it's been compared to Fritz Lang's classic film Metropolis and The Fountainhead, Ayn Rand's novel. So this is going to be an amazing, amazing film. Like, apparently they're upset because Deadpool and Wolverine symbolizes that people don't want to see cinema. No, people don't want to see cinema movies. Oh. Like The Godfather and stuff like that. Like, there's nothing wrong with Marvel and all that kind of stuff. But,
I like those movies too.
But they're saying that those movies aren't doing as well as the others. Well, so what I'm saying is, well, here's one that
really,
actually...
It's about timing, too. You need to know what's coming out when.
Mm-hmm.
If you got an action... Action's going to take over that just because...
Right.
It's a quick dopamine rush, you know. But, yeah, that where it takes a minute and then it gets probably a little philosophical, a little bit. In depth, there's probably a little violence here and there. Who knows? But I think overall, like, a lot of times those do better when there's not several action movies out.
Somebody's got a review of it already.
What, think about Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
What all other movies were there for it to compete against? I mean, it's a good movie, but you put a Deadpool Wolverine in there, it may not have done so well.
Wow, people are already saying a human mega history that never happened and never will be. Well, yeah, I see what they're saying. Psychedelic masterpiece, a cinematic achievement, intellectual triumph. Francis Ford Coppola is a master. Look at that. Already, 10 out of 10 glaring reviews. This might actually be really fucking good. And you know what? It's got Adam Driver. And Adam Driver, I think, is a really good actor.
He's good at
I think that, like, that Dinosaur one was okay, but this seems to put him...
I need to watch that one.
It's okay. But this seems to put him in a role where he can finally kind of break out of the Star Wars bullshit and say, here, I'm an actor now. Like, this is my big movie.
Oh, I like the one he did with, oh, shit.
The movie looks like it's going to be
amazing. About the zombies. I cannot think about.
This looks like an amazing movie. I can't wait to watch this. It comes out... When the hell does it come out? September 27th. I'll go see that in the theater. If you'll go see that, I'll go see that. I'll put my money up because I will sit and watch that. I think it's going to be good. And it's a movie that's supposed to make you think. It's got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
It's... Well, I mean, it looks like a drug trip. I might watch it several times.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So, at any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I got some more articles for you next time. Don't worry. I just didn't get a chance to do them. Don't forget, guys, like I said at the very beginning of this, we just showed you the whole damn trailer. Like I said at the beginning of this, You know, we got the Starless Sleepless announcements, and I cannot wait to bring you guys. Cannot wait to bring those fucking games to you guys. I've been waiting my whole life for those games to get localized, and they're finally localized. I damn near had a heart attack when I saw that announcement. I'm like, oh my god, they did it. And not just Sleepless, but Nocturne too. We got them both. So, I can't wait to continue the story, and I know it's going to be great. I know it's going to be just amazing. So, alright guys, this is the Grimlord, and we'll see you next time. I am out of here.
Later.
Enjoy the decline.